Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Can you turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel? And whilst you're turning there, it's great to have. I can see we have a few visitors here today. And it's good to see you. It's always great to have people come and join us and to see what God's doing amongst us. And there's something very fresh. God is at work, doing something very new in our relationship, primarily with Jesus. And that, of course, is the goal. The primary goal is that we will know him. We will know Jesus. And we will know his purpose and plan for our lives. And I began a new kind of series last weekend about the plans and purposes of God for you. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a little while, one of the scriptures you will have been encouraged to learn is that we know that God has plans for us to prosper us, to not harm us, to give us a future and a hope. And that's so important that you know that God's plan for you is good. It's a good plan. It's a plan to do you good. And when Jesus, we read in Matthew, just let's have a look at chapter 4 and verse 18. Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And we see that, really, if we want to know what the purpose of God is clearly in our minds, we need the Bible. We need to read the Bible, because the Bible is the plan of God. But God didn't just send his Bible to lead us. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls you and I personally, by name, to follow him. He comes into our lives. He comes into our knowledge, into understanding. Maybe a friend told you. Maybe you heard it through a preacher. But he calls you and he says, come. Come out of really what you were doing, what you have been doing. Come out of just doing the mundane, ordinary stuff in life. And come and follow me. And what I know happened in my heart when he spoke to me years ago about following him, I can see written in the Bible here, in the responses of the disciples. They didn't respond with excuses. They didn't respond with, but my job, but my wife, but my whatever. They didn't give any excuses. They just saw Jesus and decided, we've never seen anybody, don't want to be with anybody else. This guy, we want to follow him. And so we were saying last week, the reason we follow Jesus is because he's irresistible. He is wonderful. As we've been worshiping him this morning, Jesus is the most amazing vision you will ever have. Not you, not what you will do, but Jesus. Because Jesus is exactly like the Father. He is God. And he comes to dwell in us and be with us and to lead us through our lives. Everything, Colossians says, everything that was created, what was made, has been made by God and for him. Now that means everything, including you, was created for the purpose of God. That God didn't make you just to get married, have a family, have a job, whatever plans or ideas you might have had in your kind of life before you met Jesus. He didn't just plan certain kind of things just so that you could do well in life and end up in heaven saying, thank God we made it. He actually made you for a specific purpose, for a particular destiny. And that word destiny is linked with another truth in the Bible, that God has predestined you. In other words, before you were born, he gave a destiny to you. And he said, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for that individual. You are unique in God's eyes. You are special. You are vital in the plan of God. You're not a nobody. To God, he loves you. But he has given you particular gifts, particular talents. He inherent in you are gifts that God wants to bring out that go with the purpose that he created you for. And so Jesus says, come follow me, and I'm going to make you into somebody that you haven't yet been. Basically, Jesus has come into our lives. We're following him together. And remember, this following Jesus isn't just an individual thing. It's something that we do together, because disciples are called to walk with Jesus together. So you cannot be made into a follower or a disciple of Jesus without other disciples, without other followers. And that's obviously where a lot of the tests come in our lives. Because Jesus is perfect, and somehow we get to find out you and I aren't. And we scratch up against each other, we rub up against each other, I don't like what they wear. I don't like what they do. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like... Jesus actually has called you to change and to learn really what love means, which is losing your preferences for the purpose of following Jesus and loving others. So that is really, God is on the move in your life. He is working in your life and my life as we follow him. Now the disciples, as soon as they left their nets, because you have to leave something to follow Jesus, you have to leave certain friendships that used to hook you up the wrong way. You have to leave a life of getting drunk every Friday night or Saturday night, whatever your particular thing was. You leave behind the things that you were addicted to, and you actually leave the focus of just being somebody who has a job and God, I want you to bless me. You say, okay, turn around my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. It's a radical discipleship. Being a Christian is absolutely radical. Say, I'm called to be radical. A radical follower of Jesus Christ. But you know, Jesus was and is irresistible. He is somebody who always is able to get our attention and to hook us in our hearts. He's able to get your heart. Have you noticed that about Jesus? We can come up with a lot of ideas and plans, but actually when we meet with him, it's like, oh, Lord, all right, I'll do what you ask. Because he melts us. Have you ever been melted by the Lord? It's like, being with the Lord is like, oh, Lord, you love me, you forgave me, you did so much for me. Of course, I'll do what you ask me to do. Of course, I'll do what you say. And he doesn't just go for our heads, does he? He goes for our hearts. Because he knows, actually, deep down, if he gets into our hearts and in our minds, he can actually move us into what he has planned and predestined for us to walk in. The disciples followed Jesus, and they began to get what I would consider to be quite challenging times. They saw the wonders. They saw how awesome it was to follow Jesus with the miracles. And that's to be a normal part of the Christian life, healing the sick and seeing Jesus do amazing miracles in our experience. Not just because one or two people in the church are experiencing miracles. God wants you to experience healing the sick. I mean, just imagine, in the Paralympics, they're amazing, but just imagine a similar scenario, the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus walks in and all the invalids are around a pool. I'd rather go for the kingdom than the Paralympics, because what happened was Jesus went up to a man, 38 years, an invalid, and he said to him, do you want to be well? What a question. Sometimes, you know, we might be running after other things in our plans, but Jesus comes and he wants everybody whole and complete. He didn't make people to be sick. He died for people to be well. It's his plan. When he first created everything, he made everything good, perfect. And so this man said, well, I haven't got anybody to help me. If the pool's stirred and the angel comes, there are moments. And Jesus said, well, I'm here. Pick up your mat and walk. And the guy just got up, 38 years of not walking, paralyzed. Imagine! Imagine Jesus. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. It doesn't make them less people, because in some way they have a disability. But imagine the final of the 200 meters swimming. Jesus said, well done, get out. You've won gold, but here's your arms and legs. So the disciples were seeing these kinds of things, and that's normal. That's part of the purpose. If you want to know what your purpose is, it's to see extraordinary things. And I want to say something this morning. I can say it based on the scripture, but also on my faith, that we haven't seen anything yet in comparison with what we're going to see. Greater things still to come. Greater things. I've seen some amazing miracles, but I've got greater things ahead. And so have we. You have. Part of the plan is miracles. I like this plan. And then there's Jesus teaching, because, you know, your life doesn't get sorted out until you come into doing what Jesus teaches. You can want to follow Jesus, but until you actually apply what the word says and the teachings of Jesus, you're not just to be hearers on a Sunday morning or at faith school, because I'm sure you're coming, training and equipping. Isn't just hearing it, it's actually doing it. And these disciples had their lifestyle changed, their priorities, their thinking shaped. Because Jesus hadn't just come to turn the world upside down. He'd come to make disciples, true followers, who ended up looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, walking like Jesus, reacting like Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus taught. And so it's a whole new way of teaching. And when you become a Christian, and actually all the way through your life, your mind is constantly being upset. Say upset. Turned around another way of thinking. It's called change. It's called repentance. Change. Your thinking's changed about what's a priority and what isn't. Your thinking's changed about what Jesus says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And so that teaching means that Peter and Judith hear that and they say, oh, if I keep a pure heart, I'm going to see Jesus more and more. And so the teachings completely change me. And then, following Jesus caused a few upsets to Peter's flesh, to his own selfish desires. When Jesus actually said, you know, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer. That word suffer is very much part of a biblical concept of being a follower of Jesus. And I know you all want to say hallelujah. And I know you do. But to this we've been called to suffer as we follow in his footsteps. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to suffer and die and be raised, Peter turned and looked at Jesus, became the advisory committee. He was one of those elders in a church that knew better. And what he did was he came out with it and he said, you know what? Not so, Lord, not you. I don't think suffering's good, only blessing. I don't mind the miracles. I don't mind the signs. Oh, yes, I don't mind the prosperity. Fill up my bank account. But this word, it's not to be part of the program. I don't think I want to be part of a church where that kind of is preached. And Jesus said, Get behind me, Satan. You can read it yourself. I didn't make this up. Because you've got in mind the things of man and not of God. In other words, you've got stinking thinking and it's from the pit. Not there, there, darling. I'll make sure we'll get you through somehow. There'll be no change or challenge in your life. Whoa. He said, get behind me, Satan. Peter, I mean, there's a chance to be offended at that point. What an opportunity for offense. Jesus, the good shepherd, the king of love, is saying, get behind me, Satan. You see, there's different revelations of who Jesus is that need to break into our lives constantly. We don't just need to stick with our favorite. He's the good shepherd. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the light of the world. All these revelations we need to change us so we become more and more like Jesus and more fit for his purpose. Now, I'm going to say something to you that you need to just listen very carefully to, because the key to your destiny following Jesus is that we don't just follow for entertainment and for blessing. It's a key. It's a key for you reaching your destiny. Is that you understand you're not just in this for fun and entertainment. It will come. Going to the Paralympics and healing somebody is entertainment in the extreme. Wow, awesome. Because you love people, but it's awesome to see somebody healed. Because you see, we need to follow Jesus and allow him, the Holy Spirit, to work change in us. Moi. Me. I need to change. Now, I'm a faith preacher because I believe the Bible. If you're in Christ, you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. You have Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. In other words, the hope of being like Jesus is because Jesus lives in you. I'm a faith preacher, but I'm also aware that just because Jesus lives in me, I can have really bad attitudes. I can be self-consumed in my prayer life. And all I want is for God to bless me and my family. And I never get beyond selfish thinking or realities of just wanting me to be the center of the world. And the Holy Spirit needs and wants to change us from one degree of glory to another. In other words, to see more and more of the glory of Jesus through you and me. And that requires us to actually be willing to be changed. And I believe if God is going to have the disciple he wants in you and me, and the purpose that he has planned, which is amazing. If I could, and I can't because only Jesus can do it, but if I could paint the picture of your future, even the next coming years, you'd be, wow, God's purpose and plan for me, his vision is amazing. But to get there, we do need some shaping and transformation and change. I need to become more like Jesus so that more of the glory of Jesus can be seen out of my life. I need him to work in me so that he can work through me. I need to be made fit for purpose rather than just somebody who shouts on a Sunday. But if you see me at work, I'm another person. And so Jesus needs to shape us and change us so that we can actually fulfill our purpose. Now, look with me to, I know, is one of your other favorite scriptures, and that's in the book of James. Oh, we're going to have fun today of a different kind. And you're going to welcome this because this is going to shape you for purpose. I just know it. If you're willing to receive it. If you're not, you can leave unchanged and mad that the preacher didn't tell you about blessing and prosperity today. But this is for blessing. And this is for prosperity. But primarily, it's because he's making you a true disciple who will fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. And in the book of James, we read the most audacious statement in verse 2 of chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance, actually, in the book of Romans, is the only thing that produces character. The only thing in the Bible that produces character is perseverance. And character is always an issue of obedience. If you disobey God, it's down to your character, which then, of course, God needs to shape and begin to work on. But here we read that James says, count it all joy when you have loads of trials and trouble and bad stuff happen in your life. Now, to be honest, the times when I'm really in a bad trial, and if you're a Christian, you will have trouble. Okay, I'll unpack it in a minute, but it's part of the course we're going to take through life following Jesus. There will be trouble. It's not sent by God, but actually when we hit the trials, it produces, if we allow God to, it produces really good character. It changes us from being a flighty, personally preferenced, all about me, selfish, baby Christian, into somebody who grows up and is mature and like Jesus, who actually doesn't fight back when they're criticized, doesn't actually rebuke in anger, but deals graciously with others and is merciful. It completely changes us. And so the book of James says, consider it all joy when you go through difficult times. So if you're going through a difficult time now, by the end of today, I'm trusting this message, you will be able to see why you're going to consider it joy. Because God is doing something glorious in you so that you can fulfill your destiny and purpose in God. Without the shaping and the making, you won't complete the course. And you won't fulfill the purpose. You see, we live in a fallen world. Jesus actually said, in me you will have peace. John 16. In Jesus you're going to have peace. Jesus doesn't cause you that kind of trouble. Your flesh will cause you trouble. And the devil will cause you trouble. And sometimes other people will cause trouble. But Jesus said, in me you will have peace. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, if you think about this word tribulation, it actually means trouble and squeezing and pressure. I don't know if you're experiencing trouble and squeezing and pressure at the moment. Well, God is going to strengthen you today to understand how to go through that time and to come out the other side more like Jesus. And if you're not going through a trial at the moment, God is going to equip you for when you do. So we're all going to listen, aren't we? Because we can all be trained and shaped so that we know what to do. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. We're going to start to look at the life of Joseph, because if you and I are going to fulfill our destiny, we need to understand that God gives incredible vision and he gives incredible destiny to each one of us. A purpose and a future that I don't think any one of us could see how amazing it is that God would use us to save lives, to heal the sick, to come into positions of influence, whether it's in the business community or in politics or whatever sphere, and use us to bring about God's goodness into the world. And Joseph was a young man who God gave a dream to when he was 17. Do you remember he had a dream that all his brothers would come down and bow to him, and even creation would bow to him? But at the time when Joseph communicated this dream, he was an arrogant and proud, pride-filled young man. And God will never raise arrogant, pride-filled people. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so Joseph, having received a vision, whoa, I'm the answer. Absolutely true. God was going to use him like that. Went through a trial, as we read in James, as Jesus said, that anybody who follows him will experience. And went through years, actually, of testing. And by the time he came out into that place of leading the largest nation of that world, the most influential nation of that world, he came into a place to save lives and to bring an end to the famine by storing up in times of famine and releasing in times of plenty. He actually made that government the richest in the world. This is this guy, Joseph. And God put him in a place to save, actually, to save his brothers who had actually sold him into slavery. It's a type of Jesus, actually. Joseph is a type of Jesus. When you read about Joseph, actually, you can read and see a lot into who Jesus is and his suffering so that he could save many, save those who would receive him. So let's turn to Genesis and see how trials, what can happen to us. And to be honest, are we going to pass the test in the trial? Unknown to us at the time, often God is testing us through the trial. The trials don't come from God, but God is saying, now you see what I've always seen. That actually you want to run when I want you to stay. Has anybody ever experienced that one? I've been in a tight situation before where the pressure was so on that I convinced myself it wasn't God, I was there. Has anybody ever been in a situation? Totally convinced myself, it can't be God. This isn't good, and God is good. And this person is treating me so bad, it must be time to press the escape button. And I'm working out how I'm going to get out of this and do a runner. And God says, I put you there, stay there. And no door would open, because it would seem that God actually wanted to do something in me before he got me out of it. Because God's more interested in your character than you are. Big destiny equals big character. So in other words, there has to be changes in your character to fulfill the greater things that are to come. And following Jesus, it doesn't always mean that great things happen to us. If you talk to a lot of the Christians in the world today, sometimes I think, and I know that I do too, I live in a bit of a bubble. Because today, in the world, there are Christians suffering for their faith in ways you and I couldn't even think. There are Christians who are being crucified for their faith, followers of Jesus who refuse to deny the name of Jesus when they're told they've got to deny him. They refuse to deny him. And so sometimes I think we think a little bit of trouble is trouble. But it's all perspective, isn't it? Because when I'm in trouble, everybody should know how bad it is. And following Jesus, the disciples learned this. When they started to follow Jesus, Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. Jesus didn't send the storm, but a storm hit. Just following Jesus, a storm, a life-threatening storm hit. I've experienced that one. And I've also been similar to the disciples, gone, why? Jesus, why? I'm only doing what's right. My heart is to follow you. I haven't sinned. I'm just doing what you said. And look what's happening. We're going to die. We're dying. We're drowning. Everything's going down. And you know, Jesus basically got the blame initially because "don't you care" was one of the comments, which is a wrong biblical concept. It's not the truth. God cares about you all the time. He cares about the hairs on your head. He cares about and loves you intensely. But Jesus is wanting to make a disciple out of a storm. So he says, "Where is your faith?" Seems to have gone. And in that moment, I know that I'm not in faith. Have you ever found out, because of the trouble, I'm not in faith? And, you know, the easiest thing to do when trouble comes is blame God, blame the devil. Jesus didn't even say, "Let's blame the devil for this one." I think that's brilliant. Everybody get devil focused. Right, I rebuke you, devil. There's stuff coming up. I mean, he did rebuke the storm, but he didn't discuss the devil with the disciples. He was asking them, "Where is your faith? Where is your trust? What are you trusting? Are you trusting me? Because I am able to save you out of everything. Or are you going down with the trouble?" Graciously, he rebuked the storm. And the disciples had a fresh revelation of Jesus, of who he was out of that storm. But we've got to know that following Jesus doesn't always equal what we want, the perfect conditions we want for our lives and circumstances. Jesus actually said, "If anyone would come after me," and I am sorry if you've never heard this. If you haven't, it's in your Bible. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In other words, that means I can't follow Jesus without self-denial and a price. I've got to pay a price to be a follower of Jesus. I've got to pay a price to be a true disciple. I need to make some changes and be willing to suffer some kind of pain so that I can have the gain of my destiny, of revelation of who he is, following him. And you remember when some of the disciples, the teaching got a bit hard, a bit similar to this morning's teaching. I can imagine. The crowd thinned out. It's one of the most amazing church growth seminars you will ever go to. Is when Jesus really began to teach about becoming a true disciple. And he began to give teaching that wasn't comfortable for the flesh. And some of the disciples, some who had been following Jesus, said, this is too much. This is too hard. We need to get back to marketing this product because actually it's not going to sell well. You know, let's try and make this far more attractive, Jesus. We're losing people. We're getting less. And I'm not sure less is more. And Jesus looked at the disciples he'd chosen, the 12, to be close to him. At that time, he's called us all to be close to Jesus now. But he looked at them and he said, do you want to go? In other words, there's the door. Because you're not going to manipulate me into how you want the Christian life to be. I'm Lord. I want this church to grow with disciples. The froth and the stay when it's good. That's not what Jesus is doing. And Peter is hooked. And it's like, Lord, who else can we go to? I'm hooked. I'm hooked up with him. I can't run. I can't leave. You have the words of eternal life. You. I have to be with you. I want to hear your words. They're the only things that matter to me. Even if it gets hard, I'll go for it. That's a follower. Even if it gets tough, I'm going. I'm following Jesus, no matter what. And so, Joseph is really going to teach us something here. In Genesis chapter 39, all the technicolor dream coat and the dreams of everybody bowing down to him had pretty much been challenged to the hilt, because here he is in verse 1 of chapter 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who'd taken him there. So here's Joseph, the favorite son of his father, with an amazing destiny in God, a slave. That doesn't compute. Somebody who's chosen for such an amazing destiny, he's a slave. He has no rights. He has no freedom of choice. He has to do what his boss tells him to do. And I know that God is making a man of God in this. Do you? Can you see that God didn't put him there, but God definitely is at work in him? His brother's sin, the devil, put him there, but God is at work. We were saying last weekend, one of our favorite scriptures, and we know that all things work together for the good. And in a trial, you need to know that. All things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. God's got a purpose. I can't see it. Everything seems to be dark, but God's got a purpose. Well, the next thing is that in Potiphar's house, it says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, hang there for a moment with me. Do you know the Lord is with you in reality when you forgive those who put you into a position you don't want to be in? In other words, forgiveness. If you forgive those who try to destroy your life and hurt you, betray you, the Lord will be with you. Now, I'd rather have the Lord with me anywhere than not have him with me. I'd rather walk with the Lord and experience some of this stuff than not have him with me. Because he is my life. And I've got no one else to go to. But the point was, Joseph was going to him. And the Lord was with him. And I believe Joseph was with the Lord. And what happened was, he prospered. The favor of God was on his life. And Joseph kind of stopped the blame game. Why am I here? I did nothing to bring me here. Where are the promises of God? God says this. Well, why hasn't it happened? Have you ever heard this one? Where are the rewards for following Jesus? I've been faithful, and look at my life. It's a right situation. I know in your heart, you know you've been there. Oh, if you're perfect, well, there'll be some trials ahead. He didn't blame. He didn't blame God. He didn't turn on his brothers. He said, right, okay, what gifts do I have? What were Joseph's gifts? Leadership and administration. Right, well, let's make this the best household there is. I'll run it smoothly. Let me see. He started to serve, began to be trustworthy, and the Potiphar put him in charge of everything in the house. So Joseph actually came into a different position of privilege because he served faithfully. How many of you know that if you, this is the key to being in a bad time, serve. Tell somebody next to you, the key to being in a bad time and getting through it is to serve. It's part of the perseverance. You can read serve in the middle of perseverance. I read that this morning. I thought, oh, look, Lord, it means serve. Right in the middle of perseverance is serve. Faithfully serve. And you know I'm right. You love this message. So he's in his master's house doing well, and it actually says God had blessed him with good looks. Because here we go. Here we go. It's going to happen now. Just before the beginning of verse 7, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now, people are out there, you are amongst them, who actually want to basically have sex with you because that's what they want. And that's what the devil wants. Hello? I thought I'd be straight this morning. And they're predatory. If you've got a wedding ring on, never take it off. Walk around. If you sit in a bar, I've got a ring on. As soon as you take that ring off, you're deciding to compromise. But Joseph knew. And this is what I love about this man. And this is what happened. He refused. And he says, with me in charge, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns, no, he's entrusted to my care. I'm in a position of responsibility. As a slave, I'm still responsible. I work for my boss, but I'm still responsible to honor God and man. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has held nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Right, right. This is a real Christian. Should we all applaud? No, forget it. But I mean, come on. What a guy. Hats off. Good on you. Well done. Resisting temptation. This woman went further and tried to grab him. And remember, he ran away and he left his coat. Basically, Joseph passed the integrity test. You will take that test. Whether it's with your body, you honor God with your body and not sin against the Lord. Whether it's with your finances, your relationships, integrity with taxes, hello, letting your yes be yes when you say to a customer you'll do something. Come on, church. I've had quite an interesting learning curve with the state of some builders and workers. They say one thing and they do another. Oh, come on. If we're Christians, do you know what? We're here to do what we say we're going to do. We're here to show the character of Jesus. And even if it costs me, I will do what I said I'll do. And Joseph passed the integrity test. He refused to sin against God. And take another man's wife when it was on a plate presented. Don't give me the excuse I couldn't help myself. You can help yourself. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Run. Come on. Oh, it's a male thing. Let's knock it on the head. All excuses go in the light of Christ in us. The hope of glory and the willingness to say, Lord, I will honor you with my body. I will not sin against you. Premarital sex, adultery, pornography. Let's pass the test, church. And if you failed, do you know what? Jesus picks up failures who say sorry and turn around. But you turn around and change. And it's just as if you hadn't sinned. If you confess your sin. Let's clap the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Just as if you hadn't sinned. In other words, clear record. There's no remembrance of it in heaven. In other words, it's not going to hold you back. You can move forward with Jesus. But we will all take a test. And there will come times where you need to run away from what you know is sin. Well, what happened was this woman lied about him and she told her husband that he tried to rape her. So Joseph ended up in prison. My goodness me, doing the right thing, he ends up in prison. You knew you'd like coming to church today, didn't you? Ended up in a very dark place. It's such a short comment here. In verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was with him. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? Even if I go to the darkest place, you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord was with him. And that meant Joseph, miraculously by God's grace, was able to forgive. Just as Jesus, who hung on the cross, was able to forgive and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But God is at work. God is changing, shaping, and making someone who he can use in an extraordinary way. Do you want to be used in an extraordinary way? Count it all joy when trouble comes. Oh, another opportunity. Here we go for God to change me. Not to fight. I mean, imagine if Joseph, this is going to go on for 13 years, by the way. This is quite a long prison sentence. Imagine if he fought that 13 years. He'd have been the most miserable, gnarled, angry man. He'd have come out of there, if he ever got out, to destroy and make sure everybody knew he was right. But instead, he surrendered. He entrusted himself to the Lord. What we need in a trial is faith. And what is that? I believe you're good. I'm trusting you, Jesus. I trust that you are in control. The devil isn't. My circumstances aren't. You are. And just like Jesus, when he was persecuted, mocked, spat on, beaten, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Sometimes there's a bit of a shame by being in prison, even though you didn't put yourself there. The shame attached to where you're at. But Jesus endured. And he said, there's a joy in my future that I'm going for. This is not the end. This is only part of the journey. And I'm going to come through this like gold. The testing of my faith will prove that it's genuine. It's very interesting what happens to followers of Jesus Christ in reality. If we're willing to be used by God and shaped, there are things that happen that we can't explain, but we can allow God to change us in what's happening. You can live free in prison. You feel your circumstances, you're in a dark place, you can't see. And a prison isn't just a physical prison. Sometimes it's a prison, it's a darkness where you don't understand why life's turned out like this. I've been there. I've been in a place where I just don't understand. I thought you said something, Lord. I never realized it would work out like this. Has anybody been in that place? Trust him. He is faithful. And don't give up on your faith. But the Lord was with Joseph in this place. And it said he granted him kindness and favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So Joseph actually came to the top of the prison system. Why? Because what did he decide to do? Serve. Perseverance. Right? I'm in this tough place. I'm going to serve. I'm going to use my gifts. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything. I'll make this a better place. I'll make this better for my captives. Oh, my goodness. Revolutionary thinking. It's going to be better for the prison warden that I'm in prison. It's going to be better for this boss who's treated me so bad. I'm in the wrong place. It's going to be better for them because I'm here to serve. Joseph is coming out like gold, isn't he? He's passing this test, the perseverance test now. And this is the longest and probably the toughest. Keep going. Be patient. Don't get frustrated and impatient when you can't see anything happening. 13 years. David, 13 years before he came into his call. Abraham, you know how many? How many years did it take Abraham to receive the promise? How many years? 25 years. How many years for Moses? Come on, students. 40. Ow. You have a dream. You have a destiny. It's in your spirit. Great things. There are great, awesome, wonderful blessings, prosperity, yes. But there are also trials. And in everything that Jesus is doing, he says, I don't just want you to be full of power. I want you to be filled with the fruit of my spirit. Love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When godly character is developed in us, then God says, right, you're ready for a position of influence. Because God's choosing of leaders is a matter of the heart, of a willing to be changed, and then coming into a place of great influence for the kingdom of heaven. It's not easy to continue to be faithful when you're having a hard time, is it? When your emotions are all over the place, when physically you don't feel up to it, it's just not easy. But did Jesus say, come follow me and have an easy life? He makes it irresistible to follow him, but he also gives us the grace to endure. And I think, you know, that we just need to understand that trials are actually able to be used by God to change us. And that we can become more and more like Jesus in our responses. If you've got a quick temper, God wants to change that. If you're a negative person, oh, I'm always sinking, life's no good, God wants to change that. If you're a melancholic person, he wants to change it. If you're not faithful, he wants to change that. If you're not obeying his call on your life in any particular area to serve the body, he wants to change it. Just, what does he want to do with me? Change me. He wants me to love with more fruit, to be gracious, to be more like Jesus in every way. It's so important we understand that his plan and purpose involves our character, isn't it? It's wonderful to have amazing vision. But it's also wonderful to have godly character that matches that amazing vision. And so today, Jesus says, come follow me. Leave your nets. Leave the lower things of life to a higher thing. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Life in all its fullness. But in this world, you are going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But, guys, I'm shaping you. I'm bringing about a faithfulness and a determination to serve God in every season. To be a faithful worshiper. Somebody who prays not just for themselves, but allows their prayers to be far-reaching for the kingdom of heaven. Who's willing to be in a hidden ministry where people don't applaud you, but where God sees and honors. who's willing to pass integrity tests. Tests on God's demands on you for faith and finances. He is Lord. He is worthy. But let him work. And God will work perseverance. And from that, character. And what we will have is a disciple or a church full of true disciples who aren't just here for entertainment, but are here to be changed so that God can use us to change the world. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186, or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.